Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello everyone and welcome to City Alpha 3, Star Trek podcast here for you on the Nerd Party Network. My name is Daniel Prue, and joining me as always are my mirror compatriots. We have Flaren and Dilip. How are you guys doing?
I challenge you for primary host of this podcast.
You say that, but my dagger thirsts for your blood.
Oh, sorry, I gotta reapply this black lipstick. Give me a second.
Hang on, which dagger are you talking about? Are you talking about the one on your left hip? The one on your right hip?
Yeah, I don't believe in phasers. Back? It's like a phaser can fail. A dagger never does.
You know, there's a timing of like 2 seconds between intimidating and comedy. And if I think they may have crossed the line to how many daggers she had.
She did have a lot of daggers, but...
Yeah.
But I wasn't quite expecting this in this week. I mean, I should have with the episode title.
Georgia-centered episode about the Mare universe. You know, it's like they've been reading my Christmas list.
I know what you mean, Philip, because I have to lead this episode and I have no idea how we're going to do this. Forewarning, spoilers, everything, just so everybody's aware. This is going to be probably pretty negative, and I'll do my best, but I hated it. And let's get through it. And
but in negative mirror universe,
at least you watched
good.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
In the mirror universe, right. You love this episode. It was the best
mirror universe,
ever.
It was my favorite. But
it's like, that's not how it works.
It's not how any of this works.
But
so Terra Firma, part one, because we're going to get a part two.
I don't know. I'm unsure if they're going to commit to the part two, because we have that other loose part one floating around from the beginning of the season.
Well, but I don't even think that, is there a need for another part? I just felt like it's a self-contained story.
No, it just really it cuts off.
There was just a hero's journey. Right
now, I want them to keep that other part one now open for like 5 years, and then they just drop part two out of nowhere, like in, you know, like Unification 3, just
way later.
I was play the long Darren, game.
I was telling Darren before we started recording that, look, we had talked about this for last week. Like I knew, pressing play, I knew this was a two-parter. And I'm watching the episode, and just I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, oh.
I didn't know. Have we, Terra Firma, I guess probably maybe that we knew that was Mirror, but I didn't put that two and two together.
I was thinking it was Earth, but I was like, why are we going back to Earth? You know, it's like, nope, but nothing good happens there, apparently. So
remind me, Philip, because you did just recently watch season two of Discovery. All the references, but the Lorca stuff, all that stuff is season one, right?
It is. And we never
talked
about
it. Yeah,
okay,
so this... Okay.
Also, look, Daniel, you know, part two, God, I can't, is it enough for me to hope Jason Isaacs, because he's not going to show up, is he? I'm going to be disappointed.
I hope he does.
I should let
I
that go in
does.
My heart. I want him to show up so bad. Like, he just Lorca to but show up and be like, all right, we're saved.
See, one of the smaller of the huge problems for me in this episode was I don't remember the status of the universe in this episode. Like, I don't remember who was alive and who was dead. I don't remember like what happens to Lorca in this episode, because this is the Lorca we know, right? This is the Lorca from season one, or is it not?
But he disappears. Like, I think there is the coup, which, I mean, presumably happens in part two.
And
or
he
something.
Does it. And it's not successful, obviously, because she's still alive.
Disappears.
And he just disappears. And then, but Michael wasn't killed in the Mirror Universe? I don't remember. I really
Well, she had to have been alive, because when Michael shows up, you know, Prime Michael. Yeah. Though for me, you are, anyway. But for when Prime Michael shows up in the Mare universe, it's like she was, maybe it was, I don't know, I'd have to watch it
again. I think Jojo had to kill Michael, and she's trying to get Michael to make another choice in this episode, so she doesn't have to kill like. Her.
But then I remember, I kind of remember what Philip is talking about. And listeners, we apologize. This is literally just something we just don't remember because it's happened two seasons ago. But yeah, I kind of remember like Michael going in underground, like, and like hiding. But maybe that's wrong. I guess. I don't know.
I think, and maybe I'm making this up in my head and I'm mixing up things, but it almost reminds me of Sisko in the Mare universe where he was like, Mare Sisko was presumed killed and he was actually killed. But like he was presumed missing and killed. And so when Prime Sisko shows up pretending to be him, they're like, oh, he came back. And something in my mind is like, Michael was presumed killed.
Yeah, it was really mystery. It's really vague.
She came back. It's like, oh,
you because we never saw her. Well, and also like Paul Stamets. That is because he's killed, but in the first time through when he was alive, because we see him during the events of what's past his prologue, and I'm pretty sure that they established that there was no Mira Culber, but he's there in the on the Discovery now in the second time around. So
wait, so you're telling me they killed Stamets twice in the Mirror Universe?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
They have. They've killed him twice.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's just start chronologically because like the opening scene kind of has a lot of interesting things going on that I'd like to talk about.
Specifically, we got Cronenberg. That's always fun. Yeah.
Mr. Glasses, as I'm going to call him from now on, he comes in basically saying that nobody has ever crossed time and dimensions before, which we know is not true. Plenty of people, every Star Trek captain has crossed both time and dimensions, right? Am I wrong?
And dimensions. That's the hard part.
I think
part.
It's the and dimensions. It's like, it's it meaning to the mirror universe.
Like, well, but I mean, every captain has gone to an alternate dimension, right?
I think the problem that we're saying is it's okay to jump back and forth, but if you jump and then do time, that's like the distance between your focal point of where you should be is like exaggerated to the 10th degree.
You can only do that if you've become a king at the end of the row of the checkerboard. You can't
okay. You can't move diagonally. It's bad.
Okay. So this guy, Yor, I think his name is Lieutenant Yor, or time agent Yor, special.
Yor, yeah.
Yeah.
Lieutenant special Commander chronological- Yor, a time soldier of the temporal war.
Season one, okay. TNG time agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So he, now this is implied or even really kind of blatantly stated that he comes from, well, the universe time he crossed over was from the events of 2009. And he was a time soldier. Right? Because he says there was a Romulan incursion.
Yes. That went by so fast I didn't catch it.
It says it was he traveled from 2379 and via the alternate reality created by the temporal incursion of a Romulan mining ship, aka Star Trek 2009.
Nero. That was Nero.
Yeah, so Nero.
But 2379, is that the year that happens?
No, that's 24th century.
Right, so that would have been
2279. 2379
right?
is Shinzon, is Nemesis.
Wait, is 2379, are you sure it's that day or that year? Maybe it's the year after when Romulus explodes and that's when all that happens.
No, it's Nemesis is 2379.
Oh, I get it. It would be Nero's time, his contemporary time, right? Nero's contemporary time.
What is the year that Nero's ship travels?
Sorry, I'm not. I was talking not about Nero, but about Shinzon.
I know. Yeah, it's the same thing, presumably.
Also, Nero and everybody on that ship travels both between time and
dimension.
Dimension.
The Narada.
There's plenty of times when that happens, but
so it looks like in the Narada. time travel is so hard.
Not and nothing's canonly stated, so we have to make this up a little bit.
Yes, of course. Of course.
But anyway, the point was, yeah, that's where I guess. Okay.
I think there's plenty of people.
It says status missing 2387.
2387 is when it happens, okay? Which is 13 years before Picard, and that's not doesn't matter. But
which is a little bit after. So, but to your point, there's a difference between, so basically he came from the, he came from the 2009 timeline in the future. And then, so he jumped from future 2009 timeline to past our timeline, Picard, like season one TNG.
But wait. As far as we know, nobody came from the Kelvinverse into the Prime Universe.
He's saying this guy did, I guess.
He's saying this guy did.
But we don't know. He didn't expressly state that, did he? I assumed it was going in the other direction.
He traveled from a future time via the alternate reality created by the Romulan mining ship, which is the Kelvinverse. So he's basically saying he came from the Kelvinverse.
It's weird that they know about that. Like, that Cronenberg knows there's a Kelvin universe, right?
Presumably he is some sort of all-seeing or very...
He's a director.
He's a director, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand. And we're not told enough to know, so maybe
I think the point being is the moving universe is one thing, but moving universe and time stretches you away from the point where you crossed, and then your universe that... where you're supposed to be has diverged so much by then.
I get that, but I also argue the one example that he brings up specifically with Nero. Nero traveled through both time and space, and dimension, so and didn't suffer any.
You're right. Effects. He did. He went into the technical past.
Maybe he didn't spend enough time.
And across dimensions.
Literally brings that example up.
He was in a non-canonical Klingon prison camp for several years. So yeah, that's, you know.
For 20 years, but he still went back in time.
But he was still back in time and
like
in another universe.
Like 150 years, so yeah. So it's weird to like cite an example that totally undermines the point.
It'd be like if you introduced a concept Mirror Universe people can't see bright light and then never use that for any other Mirror Universe character that comes over, like that'd be
never
weird.
Never talk about it.
That'd be weird, right?
Although I'm thinking about Nero, though, and did he jump universes or did he just travel through time?
No, specifically stated in 2009 and by this guy here that it was this is now an alternate universe.
Yeah, he went from Prime to Kelvinverse.
No, what I'm asking is,
well, he created.
I thought it was. Yeah, that's the thing. Only jumped through time and then he changed
by his actions
the future by his actions.
No. I
see what you're saying.
I don't know. That's splitting hairs, I feel like, but
splitting Nero's.
I'm saying he technically not creating an alternate time. He's not moving to an alternate time. He's creating an alternate
this is
timeline
like a back
because
to the
of his time travel.
Thing of
sorry, I didn't have time to explain this to scale. But
yeah, he didn't.
Do you have a whiteboard?
He didn't travel to the Biffaverse. He traveled back in time to give him the almanac. That's what he did. So
okay. Whatever, it's fine.
Anyway.
I just don't understand why a alternate universe time travel...
Jojo's gonna die. Doesn't matter. That's all we know.
Chicken time clock.
Hang on. I just want to talk about why the Time Soldier was wearing the TNG uniform.
Okay.
No idea?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think they were...
Why bother? Why even do that?
I'm implying... I think what they're saying is... Okay. So you have TNG era. Sometime in the future, you have this time war. And during the time war, a soldier went over from another dimension into that past for some nefarious reason.
Sure.
But
if you show pictures of his like military ID or whatever, his temporal ID, you show him in his uniform. He's not in just some random uniform that he picked up along the way.
But I think what they're showing is that like when he was caught in that time.
Was he caught? I don't remember him being caught at all. I don't know.
I don't know.
How would they know how to catch someone? She had another
temporal cords. Blah 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 blah.
Do you remember the relativity? Like all those people had their own uniforms. So
true.
Like you would not show them in. It's just blatant fan service for no reason. It doesn't serve anything. But anyways, not important. You know what?
I do want to throw out that I enjoy I forget. Cronenberg. That's his real name.
Cronenberg. Yeah.
Yeah. David. Is that his name?
Mr. Glasses, I call him.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that he, his style, whether that he's just like, I don't know whether he's acting or whether that's just what he's
I think
like.
He's just being Cronenberg.
And that's
I
fine.
Honestly get that feeling.
I like when you have a person, it's like to me coming from a Aaron Sorkin, like West Wing verse, you always want to throw one character in there who speaks a different language, like tonally. And so I think Cronenberg doesn't speak Star Trek. Like he's no. He doesn't have the same tempo, but I like that he always have. It's always cool to have one character who just disrupts things a little bit. That he doesn't fit that mold, and he's just sort of there with his glasses, kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's almost like a Q-like character where you just have someone who doesn't quite fit and kind of throws things off a little. Because I like you know the computer. You know, like there is one solution. He's like, whatever. What is it? I don't know.
So that's enough of that scene, I suppose. Now, Dan, we find out.
Do you enjoy that the I forget what it's even called, the data, the
sphere data.
The sphere data is just like always going to be that Deus Ex data.
Yeah. Always. Oh no, we have no way of doing it. We'll just run it through our sphere data algorithm, and bing, one result found.
That's like we didn't have now the mushroom drive wasn't enough. We gotta have.
Yeah. Yep. Now that the sphere data has future data, which we learn in this episode, there's not really any problems it's not going to be able to solve. So not only can they go everywhere, they're literally going to know the answer to everything in the universe, which is nice. That's a really convenient plot hole to have.
Except for the sphere data doesn't have anything in this time future.
Do now. But remember, Mike?
Well, it's been combined with the resources of Starfleet, but I'm just saying it doesn't know the future.
Oh, no, it doesn't know the future. No, no.
That's what I meant. Like, it's, but it's not now yet. Combined. Not yet.
Well, you know. So not following the episode completely chronologically, but what is the suggested course here? Is it that guy, Kevin or Carl, somehow influenced the sphere data, or that the sphere data knew something about him?
I mean,
we'll never know, by the way. We'll never get that question answered.
Talking to who Carl is. I think he's a guardian of forever. I think there's more than one. And I think the sphere data knew it's a way of saying, oh, our data shows that the guardian of forever is on this planet and Kirk went there. Rather than saying that, it's our data says you should go to this planet over here with another being might be there and be able to help you. It's saying the exact same thing without specifically name dropping Guardian of Forever, because otherwise then you have your answer.
Well,
that's how I feel they did it.
And the Guardian Forever, I'm saying things we all know, sorry. Guardian of Forever is just a time machine, whereas this is a dimensional machine.
Well, yeah, like the Guardian of Forever is an entity that has the ability to send you back in time, but
not dimensions.
Wait, but what is the evidence to suggest that it's a like are you saying it's a Guardian of Forever like creature, or are you saying it's like
a franchisee? That it's,
just because like the Guardian of Forever from that episode wasn't really super interested in helping, he did what you asked him to do, but he was just like whatever. Like
I think it is another member of the Guardian of Forever race.
Is there a reason that you think that, or you just
there are many reasons I think that. The paper is littered with Guardian of Forever references.
Oh, see, I didn't look at this. Okay, tell me.
So more. Like on the back, they have shots of the soup kitchen that Kirk goes to.
Okay.
There's mentions of like "Let me help," which is a line that's said many times in the Guardian of Forever episode. It's heavily based on that. There's like three or four different references in, and it's a doorway. It looks different, but it's they step through a doorway, which is similar. So I think it's enough for me to think that that's where they're going.
It doesn't give straight answers, just like the
Guardian.
Doesn't give,
yeah.
I'm fine with it being a Guardian.
Yeah,
I was just curious.
That's where it's based off of. Because I know some people have said, is it a Q? Is it some other thing we don't know? And I personally, because of the references they made in the paper, I think that's enough for me to think that that's where they're going.
Would that be an easy way to just throw people off, though?
I mean, but why would you put it there if that wasn't what it was?
Unless it was a Q, just playing games. I don't know. I'm fine with it.
But it made more sense. It's like, and again, that's where I fit with the sphere data knowing, hey, I know that there's a guardian here. you should go. I don't know if he'll be able to help you, but maybe. Because that's a, that's, think, replace Carl with Guardian of Forever. And it all still lines up. Oh, we know this planet, and we know, and we know that this guardian can send people through time and space. Yeah. So I'm not
arguing. I don't. It's fine with me. I felt like the personification, of the person, definitely felt more Q-like. It felt more
true
trickstery and
not
having fun,
avoiding the answers, and
and it wasn't like. Well, whatever. Yeah. It's fine if that's what
I mean, honestly, if they didn't have all those references in the paper, I would totally think it was a Q.
Yeah.
But I think that those are there for the reason of implying that connection.
Yeah. Okay.
And we don't know. But then, of course, the question is, what does this have to do with fixing, I'm hand quoting, Georgiou, other than, okay, it sends her back in time and dimension.
Pick up a glass of liquid, so she's, in trouble.
I mean, it sends her back to her own time and place, though technically a little earlier than her own time and place.
That's a good question. Is she actually experiencing what she's...
And that's the deeper question. Is this actually real? Hand quote again.
Because look at, again, with the Guardian of Forever, when Kirk goes back, or actually when Bones goes back, time changes. I don't know if...
Creating another alternate universe.
Well, and what's the end goal of this? Is the end goal of this for Georgiou to become good and decide not to kill
everybody? I will quit the show.
Redemption.
I will quit the show. Here's the thing. That's the thing. It's been suggested, right, that this is a tapestry-like experience for Georgiou.
That's true. I've heard that as well.
He's going to turn out to be some blue shirt and be depressed. It's not going to.
Man,
this is not.
That's even worse. I'm like Empress Georgiou, and then she makes a tweak, and now she's in the Prime Universe as a blue shirt, and she's just utterly miserable.
You cannot redeem this character. You just can't. We've seen her eat people. You can't redeem the character. This is my biggest frustration with Georgiou since they brought her back. And it's just this can't be a redemption arc. You cannot redeem the character. It's too far gone. It's fine. If she learns a lesson or whatever, I guess, whatever.
Learns,
but she still belongs in prison. Yeah, it's what is the goal here? She still let that other Kelpian get eaten. In this episode, yeah, she saved Saru, but she let that other Kelpian get eaten. She killed Stamets with her bare hands. It's she's still a terrible, terrible creature.
In a way, she's almost acting like one of our, as if our Georgiou was put into the mirror universe and she had to keep her cover, but she's trying to go up to the line where she's not, because otherwise they'll all kill her.
I don't buy that she's all of a sudden feeling all this terrible guilt. I just I'm not on board for it.
Well, and Michael hates her guts. Oh my gosh. Yeah. She's staring mirror daggers at her the entire time. But
yeah, I don't. So I guess where do we go from here is a good question. I don't know how they resolve this, and we can't really know unless we know who Carl is and what his motivations are. And but I do hope we do see Lorca. I think that'd be great.
Oh man, you can't throw that name down and be like, if they don't show him, I mean, whatever. Because my expectation is they're not going to show him because it's the events before. But I'm just like, oh, don't throw that name unless you mean it.
Maybe we'll see Prime Lorca. That would be cool.
Because we can see the switch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What else do you guys want to talk about here?
Well, I thought it was interesting with... I mean, I want to get to the mayor a little bit, but to go back a little bit because, our universe ends halfway through the episode, so it's okay, now we're just gonna so there's no cutting back to Discovery. But what do you think of Saru's, they didn't make a meal out of it, and I don't know what to think about it, but Saru has been kind of by the book. I'm not a bad Admiral, but it's been interesting to see the switch, because it's Saru who's just I want to stick to the mission, and the Admiral who's I don't know, let's do the mission every episode that saves the one person. And so we sort of have the not, confrontation, it's a little heavier than what it is, but just the Admiral going hey, what's up, Saru? Why? And Saru's I don't know, I'm just trying to follow the book. And the Admiral's don't always follow the book.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really sure what is implied. It's his his descendant or something, or like of his sister or something. I don't know. I don't, like, he's like flummoxed that it's another Kelpian, but he's seen other Kelpians. It's not like a big deal here. I don't know. I don't really know where they're going with it and why he wouldn't just tell. Unless maybe Saru is responsible for the burn, and well, that's what we're going to find out here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
Our Kelpians could be responsible for the burn. We know now that the ship at the heart of the burn nebula is a Kelpian ship.
Well, it's... I don't know. To me, and again, I'm not going to make fun.
Is it a Kelpian ship? Or I thought it was a Starfleet ship.
Well,
I thought
no, it was they said the KMS, like it was like an, it wasn't USS.
Yeah.
And it was like K something something. And I was like, oh, Kelpian something force.
Yeah, but they were a part of the Federation. So I guess it could be a Kelpian Federation ship. Right?
At the time, I don't know. People go in and out of this Federation this time. You know, it's not a, it's all Brexit in this universe.
Although I did love the scene where it's like, you know, algorithm done. Oh, is that what I think it is? Let's go tell Saru. It's like, can you show us? Nope. We got to wait till Saru sees it. Like,
okay, because you're throwing a lot of things. So where do you think they're going with Adira? Is their name
Adira.
Right?
Adira.
Because she was upset. Trill. She was upset that.
Darren.
Oh, yeah. They were upset.
Well, they were upset that that she forgot to turn thing back on.
I don't know. No, is there anything significant that happened?
That they're missing their boyfriend. Like, what's that? Like, whatever. They want to do something about it. It's fine. Like, I was done with that. I'm like, the boyfriend.
Yeah, I thought we'd be over it, I suppose, yeah.
But I don't, but they seem to be going with it. That's still a thing. So, I don't know.
I feel like they don't have a lot for them to do.
Yeah.
Stamets is already a super genius. Tilly's already a super genius. Like, I'm not really sure that they're bringing anything to the story at this point anymore, but maybe at the end. I don't know.
Well, sure. You know, they're just like the Wesley Crusher character now. Just when they need to save a ship, they can do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of normal stuff to talk about. Most of the episode is spent inside the Mirror Universe, which, by the way, I just need to say is still dumb always has been dumb. Well, so I don't care about what's happening here.
The only thing, I mean, because presumably this whole episode is about Georgiou and Michael. Like, for God's sakes, that's right. What it's about. In case you didn't get it, that's what it's about. And
we finally get to see Mirror Michael, guys. I've been waiting so long to see that.
Wow. And Killy.
Well, we've seen her before, right? No, we didn't.
No, yeah.
No, we saw true. Regular Tilly trying
act like
to
Killy.
Be
you're right.
Captain
you're right.
Killy. Yeah.
And we finally saw Ocean, and we basically saw everybody.
Yeah. There was a lot of more supporting people in this episode.
Well,
like,
because
they kept them away
technically,
from the original.
We wouldn't have seen the original Discovery.
We saw the Mare Sinju last time.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I really don't.
Which
remember
was captained by Michael. I mean, I'm just for contextualizing her character, you know, so I don't know where her ship
is. That's right. I don't know.
I guess, really, we need to go back and rewatch. Nah.
Do we?
Never mind.
Because I'm also trying to remember, because this is the introduction of the Charon, or the right. Champagne breaking, whatever you call it. What are they
using?
What do they use besides the champagne in this universe? Anyway, blood wine. I don't know.
They sacrifice an ensign on the hull.
Yeah.
Sounds like something.
They
would
just
do.
Send him up the airlock and push him against.
Yeah, and then it, his body
you
hits.
See the body spinning,
and then when it hits, it shatters into
it just
a million
shatters.
Pieces. I mean, it sounds like something they would do in this universe.
Just imagine that generation's opening. Just see the body. All right. But anyway, the interesting part, which was about like 10 seconds, because it's this whole like, why did she betray me? Why did she betray me? Why did she betray me? And I'm like, she's not telling you, so God knows. I don't know. But the moment of where she's like, oh, I was the king of that rubbish heap.
Oh, right.
And that was interesting. I mean, there's something there.
Basically, she's like, I was number one and you took me. Yes, you took me away from there, but I'm never going to be number one again. I'm always going to be second to you.
Number two. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a valid, crazy, psychotic universe reason. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think the mystery for me between the Prime and the... Like, so the Prime mystery has always been, why does Michael care about... Mara Georgiou, and I know you can get it that she's confusing her or the, her conflating her feelings with Prime Georgiou, but it seems to go beyond that, bizarrely, in my opinion, for some reason why she keeps together. So go to the flip side. What is Mara Georgiou's thing with Mayor Michael? And other than adopting a daughter, I guess a familial thing, but I don't know. And then what is she?
Yeah, I don't. I have zero sympathy for, like, I don't understand that storyline. Like, I think it's lazy. I just think it's, well, I messed up my first relationship with this person. So now this other person who just looks exactly like this other person
doesn't act like them at all.
Get a do-over. No, that's not how, I mean, no. Have you ever met a twin? It's just not how it works, man. Like, they're just different people. It's fine. Whatever. I just don't get it.
Well, and they start to say, like, you know, if she's going crazy, Michael, are you willing to do what's necessary? And it's like, so basically you're saying, is Michael willing to kill Mara Georgiou based on her feelings? It's like, but why would you even be a, it's not the same person.
Yeah. No, that was a weird thing to bring up, but then they brought it up and I'm like, oh yeah, Michael is horrible, isn't she?
Surprised Michael didn't go through the door with Georgiou.
I was shocked at first, and then I'm like, well, she's still in the mirror universe now, so
that's true.
It doesn't matter.
But also given the, and I don't know, I mean, from a storytelling standpoint, you always have to force the, you don't have to, I'm just saying this is what they're doing. They have to force the conflict where Michael's like, don't go through the door. I'm like, Michael, you would be in that door in 5 seconds if this was like, you just needed someone to be, don't go through the door. I'm like, we're all,
it's a door, man.
Door. Yeah.
Like it's just a door. And it, this bothered me, but not, it's not a huge detail.
And that was adorable, wasn't it?
Hey, I like those little puns. I thought they were, and that's where the Q stuff kind of like fit for me. I'm like, yeah. they're having fun. They're not like,
well, a clown held the door open for me. It was a nice gesture. It's like, but
yeah, maybe this one's just got a sense of humor. I don't, who knows? Who knows? But
oh, and we also saw Mirror Arium, who is not Cyborg Lady.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe that's what was clicking.
She somewhere?
Yeah, well,
wait, wouldn't Mirror Arium just be
Nielsen?
Not Cyborg Lady?
That's what I'm saying. Is it, well, I see what you're saying, but I think she's credited as, it says here, Arium Mirror. So I think it's supposing that in that universe she's not.
But does she robo-ized. Look different than the lady that's on Discovery now? Because if you take,
I know what you're saying. It's like, how do you know it's, how do you know it's Arium Mirror and not a non-robo lady actress who is right. now
season
on the,
2 Arium. Right. Yeah. Not season 1 Arium.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's just a judgment call, but yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I guess.
But I mean, it could difference. Be either way.
No, there is a difference because in her final episode, Robot Ladies, you see her, the real her from the hollow memory. So whoever, cause I remember seeing that actress, I know who shot, because the hair was different. She had, like, brown hair in the Mary universe or something. And I remember clicking, like, who's... And that's probably was Mary Arium then. But, yeah, yeah.
In this episode, they call Michael out for the incident when Arium dies. And they said you weren't able to make the tough call.
Right,
right.
Am I misremembering that, or
yeah,
didn't
no.
she
yeah.
suck out an airlock or something?
No,
she was not out the airlock because Michael wouldn't pull the lever.
Commander Nahn had to do
oh,
it.
Oh, and then yeah, that's yeah. right.
Okay, Arium is like, you need to kill me. The sphere, the control inside me is going to take
over.
Is going to take
that's
over,
right.
And Michael's like, but we'll find another way. And Nahn just like, f that, pulled the yep. lever and it'll save the day.
So that was a good call out then. She like yeah. she really did mess up there. Okay.
She should never
okay.
captain or have a commanding position at all. Yeah, that's what the.
You know, I will say, I'll give a little bit of credit here. I liked the ceremony. I liked the super bass opening ceremony with all the the performers
oh,
on,
yeah,
on the stage yeah. and everything like that.
I
thought that was fun. That was neat.
I knew a person. What are they called? Sorry. Silks. Like I knew a person who did that, and it's a very interesting thing to watch and do. People who can do that, it's very interesting. But yeah, I do like the very, because it is sort of a, you know, whether they mean to or not, you know, sort of has that Asian influence of the kabuki.
True. I mean, it also has a very Roman, you know, like era type thing. But So I was looking at one of Trekcore's overviews on the episode, and they're also talking about that, you know, City of the Edge of Forever. I keep calling it the Garden of Forever episode. That's obviously not the name of the episode, but, and Spock does call it a time portal, Captain, a gateway to other times and dimensions, if I am correct. So, I mean, even though we don't go to another dimension.
Well, it's, technically there was, because McCoy created the McCoyverse.
Right. We don't talk about the McCoyverse very often, but no. Apparently it's very bad. But
there was thoughts. There was, I mean, there have been fan theories that that was the start of the Mirror Universe. That's where it first split off, right? I remember hearing that before.
Oh, that's true, too. But yeah, you just have lots of glimpses of the 21st Street mission, and lots of Let Me Help in the Star, and the name of the paper too, the Star Dispatch, was the paper used in the City on the Edge of Forever.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah, I mean, I could buy it. That's fine.
One thing about this episode, and I mean, I'm not, you know, Mirror Universe is not my favorite. I've always said that. I mean, I don't hate on this episode, but it's just, you know, whatever. But one thing about watching this episode that I really, really, really noticed, I think this was a thin, I mean, I know you would say plot-wise, but I mean, literally a thin episode, because when I was watching it, I noticed that, like, a tenth of this episode is just people looking. Like, it's just reaction shots. Like, I really noticed it halfway through the episode.
There were a lot of that.
It's just like, you know... And like, it's especially like our
subtle back, gestures and looks.
Yeah, like if you took all those shots out, you'd have killed like 10 minutes of this episode. Like, it really used a lot. Like, I get that we get to see the different, oh, it's our bridge crew. Remember them? I'm like, I don't need reaction shots for this whole thing. Like, if you can't move the action along, then I don't know, have a longer speech. I don't know. But yeah, going back to what you were saying with Georgiou. Basically, we're talking about her redemption arc, but who is she anymore? Because is it her sickness that's making her have these reflective thoughts? Or because I haven't seen this Georgiou in the Primeverse. You know, in Section 31, her time there, she was still pretty Georgiou-y. And then I know we've sort of neutered her slightly as a Discovery crew member in the past few episodes, just making smart aleck remarks. But, like, now to be, like, Emperor Georgiou again and just being, like, maybe I should save Saru. And, you know, I could get, with Michael, I can get it. Because he has a weird thing about Michael. But, like, the rest of it, he should still be back to the Empress.
Yeah, and so they have this whole goodbye scene with Michael, Saru, Georgiou, and Tilly.
I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
And it's like... And it's, like, so forced. Like, Saru, there's no reason to shake her hand. Yeah. Tilly wouldn't give her a hug. Are you, yeah.
I learned so much from
she
you.
She was such a jerk to Tilly.
Yeah.
30 minutes before, or whatever, when they were in the mess hall. Like, Tilly was literally like, listen, I get it. You've got a big ego. You don't want to be seen needing help. I'll help. And she's just a jerk. Tilly, you're better than that, Tilly. Sorry. You're just, everybody on that ship is better than Georgiou. That's all I'm saying. So I just have no sympathy for her. I can't feel bad for her.
And we've talked earlier about, before we record all the sort of Star Wars stuff and spinoffs and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, just Terra Firma part two. Is she's gone to spinoff world after this, we assume?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh my goodness, is she going to be gone by the end of this episode? And I was like, maybe I won't have to see Mirror Universe again. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, this is a two-parter. So I assume it's got to be, right, that she's going to be gone. Somehow it's going to put her back to Discovery time. But
because, interestingly,
because that's the question is, like, how is she? We still don't know how she's helming this Section 31 show. That obviously has to have the same, that has to have,
what's his name? Yeah, boyfriend.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about him. What is his name?
Vok.
Tyler.
We watched the show.
We got there.
You know, but yes, but we've, like, obviously the ship isn't going back. So how is she getting?
Well, she's already back in time. She's just in the wrong dimension.
Yep. Oh God.
Now she's still technically, I don't know what time this would be in Discovery. Is this pre-season one of Discovery?
I guess it doesn't matter because it's before they come over.
It was mid 2255.
No, don't start looking at the time. The date, Daniel. It's not going to help. So I was looking again some more in that paper, and oh my gosh, this paper is like a treasure trove of like just in jokes. The Universal Edition costs 15 quatloos. There's an article about the starship Janolan reported to be missing.
So here's the thing, but that's just a bunch of different references.
Yeah. See, I think it could just be a bunch
of Star Trek references.
There's also like a thing about Worf winning the Bat'leth competition. And so the more
interesting. So that is actually specifically a alternate universe reference.
Parallels.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That's true.
How did he place in that article? Because that'll determine what universe it is.
Does he have a girlfriend to go home to? Did he get cake at the end? Where are we?
So I think, I mean, in that regard, it makes it sound almost more Q-ish, but, or it could be, again, as a guardian, is just observing all this crazy stuff that happens.
Is this the Star Trek what if?
It basically is what it's feeling like, guys.
What if Riker had a really long beard?
Yeah. Oh no, the Borg are everywhere.
Honestly, I just I'll stop complaining about Georgiou if this is next week is her last episode. But
oh,
I mean,
was
like,
this the episode also where Booker talks to Saru? Does that happen in this episode?
Yeah, that was this episode.
Weird.
Not basically. Bad. I'm not gonna make you acting ensign. You have to earn. You have to save the ship. That's all you got to do is save the entire ship. Maybe the Federation as a whole. Then you'll live up to Michael's standards.
When your time comes, you'll know it.
It was very like more fantasy than sci-fi. It was very like questy. Like there will be a moment, and only then.
Yeah, and until then, you could just sit in your ship in our cargo bay and watch TV. Like, what is he supposed to?
Wait, is there going to be that moment? Like, it's the dire situation, and Saru just holds up one finger. One,
yeah.
And then Booker's like,
"Oh, I know. It's got to be the one timeline that we defeat Q."
No, what's going to happen is they're going to go to a planet where there is a whole culture of cat worshippers. And then finally, both Book and the cat, whatever his name is going to have his time to shine as well.
So. Grudge. Her name.
I don't know. This in my head, the conversation is like, Book's like, I'm an empath with animals. And Sue's like, hey, we don't need that, Aquaman. So, I don't know. Something will come up.
It'd be fun if they turned him into a counselor just for kicks and giggles. That would be fun.
They need one.
They definitely.
You just see like Detmer sitting there, which by the way, got to see her with two eyes again. You just see Detmer sitting there and the Booker's glowing. And then she's like, okay, well, feel better. All right.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Did Detmer not have her implant?
Mm-hmm. Not in the Mirror Universe. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Because the Battle of the Binary Stars wouldn't happen like that.
Yep. No Klingons there. You were already defeated.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So, what else? Is there anything else?
So that happened.
anything else that we want to talk about?
Do we imagine that the whole episode is going to be Mirror Universe, or that it's going to be like, because we only get half one.
I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be mostly Mirror Universe, and then at the very end, she's going to snap back through the portal. I don't know. I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
There has to be, of course, no matter what happens, there has to be a final Michael Georgiou moment.
Georgiou scene, yep. And she's going to get two.
Okay.
She's going to get two. She's going to get one with her universe, Michael Georgiou.
Mirror Michael. Yeah.
And then she's going to get one with our Michael. So, the thing is, she may have to kill her Michael.
I think she has to kill her Michael because she has to let her go.
We all internally have to kill our own Michaels.
No, but here's the thing. Is she gonna? She's either not gonna kill her or gonna kill her. Those are the two outcomes.
The binary solution.
But the bigger problem here is, and I think we all assume in some way or fashion, she may stay behind in the Mirror Universe, or maybe she'll find her way out or whatever, but it'll be back in time or whatever. My problem is if she goes back to the Mirror Universe, she's not gonna be, do you remember like at the end of the original Mirror episode, Mirror Mirror, when Kirk has some sort of an impact on Spock.
Right.
And Spock then changes the course.
She just has insight of time travel to make her, to one up her enemies. That's all she has.
Yeah, she's still going to be evil and still going to be killing people all over the place. Like, then what does... Whatever.
Well, and theoretically, because the time she's in is before our discovery goes there.
Right.
So she would have foreknowledge of their incursion.
She already could has mess foreknowledge. Up their, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying is technically then, I mean, not that we would ever see it, but when Discovery actually comes over with Lorca, she now already knows.
But the, she's also, sorry, we're going to go into this. So she's doing a quantum leap time travel, not a basically. Back to the future time travel, because there is no Georgiou of that time. She's replaced that person.
Right. That's a quantum leap theory. Quantum leap rules apply, guys.
So if she quantum leaps out of there, that original Georgiou would remain with no foreknowledge.
What if that whole beginning scene with Mr. Glasses was to set up the idea of an alternate mirror universe? And now this new mirror universe where she now has foreknowledge, she's going to change the... Because here's the thing. I guess quantum leap rules...
Who cares about the mirror universe?
I agree.
Well, they do because we have so many episodes about it.
Yeah. Because it's easy. That's the thing. It's easy. And it's just easy to... Whatever. Okay. Anyways, anything else we
mean,
talk
technically, this is... Yeah. I mean, we kind of mentioned it. Like, she's the prime... She's basically acting like Prime Georgiou.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Forced to make... Like, because if she wasn't, then she would have no problem killing anybody or killing Saru or killing right. Michael. She wouldn't have any problem, which she technically shouldn't have any problem. But they're trying to imply that her time spent around... The family
infected
Discovery
her.
Has affected okay. her,
and
she's
just
been
bring
she's
this
been
up
drinking
because...
that root beer, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it's so bubbly.
It's insidious.
Just to bring this up,
it's insidious.
The in the preview for the next episode, she literally says, "I've seen what this universe can be. It can be so illuminating, or something like that." And it's
basically, like I know our empire is going to fail. So
suggesting
I'm gonna,
that she has now learned to love this universe, that she's just been snarky and sarcastic and a total mean face about the whole time. Like I
don't know.
Whatever. You can't have both. You can't have her be the snarky, evil badass who can take over every situation and kill without remorse, and have her feel totally remorseful for every kill she does when she goes back into her original timeline. You just can't have both.
It will, especially where, I mean, okay, she could say that. Great, but everyone is still gonna kill you the moment you show weakness. You've baked that into them for generations. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was almost waiting for her honor guard to turn on her. Because with Asuko, sorry, I'm saying your name wrong. You know who I'm talking about.
Oshuin.
Yes. That like her looks again, because this is nothing but like reaction shots.
Yeah.
Like it's like every time it'd be like, oh, your weakness, or she'd be like. Give a look. I'm like, is she now like plotting?
Like the fact that she didn't behead Michael when she should have.
Because she there's a part where she was behind Georgiou, and I'm like, is she about to like stab Georgiou or something? Because she like had the daggers.
This is why In a Mirror Darkness is the best mirror universe, because they just have fun with it. Like, it doesn't matter that at the end, like Hoshi just kills Archer for no reason. It's like, okay, why not? You know, like that. That is totally fine. So, and if Georgiou goes back and messes up the timeline, then technically the Kirk of Mirror Mirror is different.
Yeah.
And Sisko's every other Mirror Mirror.
Bringing a character that we lost from the Mirror Universe to our universe could be interesting. The problem is they brought the worst possible, evilest, most... Yeah.
Brought Hitler. Great. Well, yeah. That's really not going to do much.
And of course, they're not going to learn their lesson and be better. If you brought Smiley back from Deep Space Nine after you killed O'Brien, that's an interesting story to tell.
That would be interesting.
You would have O'Brien's family. How does that all work? You know, it's all weird. He's obviously a different character, but it could be he could learn things, whatever. But this person that you brought back,
that's like bringing the intendant over and expecting her to be Major Kira. It's
exactly.
Like, I'm sorry. Perfect no, example. She's a psychopath. Like, yeah. I wouldn't trust her. She's going to just kill everybody. I wouldn't trust her out of the bridge.
She only does two things
all.
With people. So kill is one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
She's interesting and fun for half an episode.
Yeah.
And then that's good. And then you don't need, don't bring her back yeah. with you.
Are no,
you
that's crazy? A really,
you never go like full bearer. Filler.
Yeah. Just mirror, mirror. Just have a mirror. But no, you're right. It's like, yeah, think of if they brought the intendant back and intended her to stick around. Like,
she's the new XO.
All of us would be like, no. We'd be like, HR, we got a problem here. Cisco's gone off his deep end.
And Cisco knew better. And that's the problem with not having a really solid captain on the show. That must be it. It's just like the paperwork never came through. Like, you know, Lorca would have shut it down. Even regular Georgiou would have shut it down. And then maybe, oh God, what is his name?
Pike?
Kelpian. I can't.
Oh no. Sorry. Saru.
Oh, Pike would have shut it down for sure. Yeah. Oh, why didn't he? What was, I can't remember. Anyways.
He had to operate, even though he knew it was a dramatic, you know, thing, he had to operate that it was regular Georgiou.
Oh, yeah. No, but that, yeah, because it happened before he got on board, right?
Well, he had to pretend that he didn't. He figured it out pretty quickly, I think. But
she was helping somehow with the war, I think.
Yeah, she was Section 31 liaison special operations.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Anyways, I guess maybe next week we'll find out a resolution to this whole plot line that's been happening since season one, and we'll see how it goes. I'm actually more interested to see what the context is, like who Carl is and why is he helping and what do we gain from that. I hope to see something cool there.
This season, and this is just an observation, so we're shedding characters. I mean, it's, you know, right? We're Commander Nan, we got potentially Georgiou, you know, I feel like we're kind of trying to get back to a small, I know we're adding characters too, of course. We got Booker, we have Adira, but
We have the Admiral, we have Mr. Glasses.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I feel like we're...
Linus has a bigger role, for sure.
The lizard guy, you can...
We haven't seen Mirror Linus at all, so...
Well, but again, I mean, the Terran Empire is highly human-centric.
Yeah.
Right there in the name.
Yeah. All right, well, any final thoughts for Terra Firma Part 1 before we close it out?
Yeah, no.
Fair enough. Darren?
No, I think hopefully we'll get some more answers than questions in part two. Yeah. I hope.
After how many more episodes do we have to go? Does anybody know off the top of their head? Or,
four or five, something
have
like
a
that.
Resource nearby?
So I just saw, sorry.
Is it really that many?
I'm looking at my phone, sorry. Not that I'm dedicated. But the headline on Trek Core is David Cronenberg returning for Discovery Season 4. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that it had been officially renewed. I mean, I assumed it was.
Well, I think my favorite quote, I think I saw a quote from her earlier, is that I'm cheap, available, and I live in Toronto. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
So, including Terra Firma Part 2, there's 4 episodes left.
Okay. What are the titles?
Terra Firma Part 2, The Citadel, The Good of the People, and Outside. So maybe we just stay in the Mirror Universe for 3 more episodes. No, who knows? No. I mean, I'm not thinking they do.
Because the problem is the Citadel sounds like such a Mirror Universe.
It does. It does. And The Good of the People also sounds like a good Mirror Universe episode.
The Citadel better be a Mass Effect crossover is all I'm saying.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But we won't get that, unfortunately. You know, I do hope that this is the last of the Mirror Universe. You know what? Here's the thing. Discovery writers, and you can credit me or not, that's it. Just call it good. You just did a lot already in the first 3 seasons. We don't need any more. We're good. That's it.
Well, and next week when we talk about part 2, we're going to do a brief summary because we have something else special planned for our 200th episode of SETI Alpha 3. We made it to 200, guys.
We're getting old.
Is it going to be the Mirror host?
No.
Oh.
It's not going to be the Mirror host episode.
So 10-minute review next week.
We'll just read the Memory Alpha article. That's all we'll do. It's just there's your recap. If it's not as long, if it's any longer than a previously on Star Trek: The Next Generation clip, then we've gone too long.
And now the conclusion.
All right, Darren. If people want to get a hold of you on the internet and argue about why they are part of hashtag Team Guardian of Forever, how would they find you?
It's a little long of a hashtag, you know, with all the letters in it. But yes, they could find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And Philip, part of Team Q, much shorter. Where do they find you?
I feel like this is going to be a really good pub quiz.
It sounds like a Klingon. It's like Team Q.
They can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And they can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in the best time to go to the Mirror Universe is only once, and you leave it alone. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on regular universe, SETI Alpha 3.